I'd like to just reflect a few thoughts today in this meditation on the words from Jesus from the cross, specifically focusing on the theme of Father, forgive them. A number of years ago, a storybook came out for children, and it was the editor was I forgot their name, but she had a story in there on Corrie ten Boom. And she talked about Corrie ten Boom came to this church. And as you know, Corrie ten Boom had been taken and put into a concentration camp because she and her family had been hiding Jews as they had fled Germany. And so she went through the concentration camp, and one of the things her sister Betsy encouraged her to say and to give the message of forgiveness to all that she could speak to. And so after the concentration camp, after she had the war was over, she had went to these different churches to give this message of forgiveness, profound forgiveness. And after one of these messages, she came to the, she had finished, and she was walking down the church aisle, and who should be coming to greet her but one of her Gestapo men. And she had recognized this person, and she had a hard time, and with a lot of courage, she reached out her hand, and he reached out his, and when she had shaken his hand, she said a warmth went through her whole body. What a powerful message of forgiveness. But of course, forgiveness is the example of forgiveness is many places in the Bible. And the story of Joseph comes to my mind. At the end of Genesis, it's really interesting because the Genesis ends with a message of forgiveness. Joseph's father had passed away, and Joseph's brothers were a bit scared. They say, what is Joseph going to do to us? And so they came to Joseph and they pleaded with him and said, Joseph, your father has a dying wish. And this dying wish is that you would forgive us the bad things that we have done to you. And it's interesting to notice Joseph's response, because Joseph wept. You can believe here's a man who had a lot of authority, a lot of power, and he wept. And then he said something very powerful. He said, you meant it to harm me, but God meant it for good. Isn't that amazing? Taking a negative situation, a situation where Joseph was a slave, he was in prison, and he never knew that this would happen to him. And from this place, he could say, God meant this for good. Because people had food, he organized it so that during 7 years of good harvest, they could store away food for 7 years of bad harvest or lean or drought and so on. And so you might want to ask the question, what is the cost of forgiveness? Perhaps we can understand the cost a little bit when we look at the word forgive in the New Testament. Because the word forgive in the New Testament can be translated a number of ways. And it's been translated in a way like to give up. It's translated to keep no more. It's translated as divorce or to lay aside or to yield up or to omit. And so the one who forgives has to let go of something very close to them. They have to let it go or put it away. And what are they going to let go of? Well, there's some basic needs. They're going to let go of perhaps some bitterness. They have to let go of resentment and rage. But perhaps they have to let go of revenge. When somebody's been hurt, one of our human tendencies is for revenge or blame or hostility. And to the one who asks for forgiveness, they've got to claim something too. They've got to claim responsibility to acknowledge the problem, the hurt, and in humility ask that this be removed. Ask that it would be let go of so that it can appear no more. So there's a cost, the cost of repentance, the cost of humility, the cost of responsibility, to let it go, not call it forward anymore. And so because the cost has been fulfilled on both sides, one has had to let go of something, the other side has had to claim that responsibility, and so they can rebuild trust. Today we hear the words of Jesus from the cross. It says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." The cost is quite obvious because it involved his life. And here he is, a few more moments to live, and he is reaching out to the world, and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." See, he's forfeiting his right for justice at that point. He's forfeiting his right for resentment. He's forfeiting his right for blame. And he's simply saying, "Father, forgive them." But you know, in forfeiting that, he's embracing something so profound. He's embracing his mission. He's embracing the fact that he is the door to the kingdom of God. He's embracing the fact that forgiveness is the entry point in which we come to the kingdom of God. You see, we so often like to go our own ways. You see, we often like to say, "My will and not yours be done." And so the cross is a vital opening of our relationship between us and God. And in that way, he could say to the thief on his side, he could say to the thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise." So that's a vertical relationship. The cross is also horizontal. His arms are reaching out to the world. And so in a very profound way, it's not in this passage of scripture, but in John, he records this, John records this, that Jesus reached out to his mother. Imagine that, he's on the cross, he reaches out to his mother and says, "Mother, here's your new family." And to John, he says, "John, here's your mother, include her in your life." And so in a very real way, he's taking both. And the cross, he's talking about both these things. To the thief, he's saying, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And to his mother, he's saying, "Here's a new community." And some of the signs, one of the most profound signs of the new community is the sign of forgiveness. And so today we remember the persecuted church. And we remember it from the perspective of the one who is on the cross, who too was persecuted. The one who said, "You know what, it's going to come, but count yourself blessed." It's hard to understand that blessing. And so the image that comes even to the persecuted church is that forgiveness is a gift from God as they face their persecutors. This is never easy, as read in the testimony today, because there's always a consequence. And it's never easy because at times they're tired, at times they're lonely, at times they're hungry, at times they're alone in prison and so on. And they have a family, and so it's hard. It's difficult to reach out and ask and claim forgiveness. To embrace their life as blessed is never easy. There's so many stories of faithfulness in this regard. I remember hearing a story of something that happened in India many years ago. And in India, they have extended families. And this one, the wife of this family, the mother and wife, had made a decision to follow Jesus. And over time, this was very difficult. Her husband took it out on her. There were marks, knife marks on her face and so on, but somehow she continued to love her husband. And a number of years later, the whole family came to know this Jesus. Isn't it amazing that that through this persecution, because of her faith, that years later, her family came to say yes to this Jesus? And so today, as we celebrate this, we realize the profound sense of forgiveness. But it's not easy. And some people struggle that have been persecuted. They struggle with The same with issues. They struggle with resentment, with bitterness. They struggle with wanting to take revenge. And somewhere they have to come also to that place and ask and claim the forgiveness of Christ. But you know, I think we also struggle with some of those same things. When there are broken families, when there is abuse within the family system, when churches divide and split, it always has that gritness to it. It's always painful. And although it's not the same as the persecution of the persecuted church, some of the signs are still the same. They're still there. There's a need for maybe taking revenge, or there's a need of resentment. The resentment starts to build up and the bitterness fills up. And so we need to come to the cross as well in our time and in our place and hear Jesus say, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." Now, much could be said about that, but that's not the way I want to go this morning. What I'd like to say is that repentance is about change in our behavior. It's about humility in facing life. You see, Joseph's brothers changed their behavior. At one point, they were saying, "Well, you can worship your slaves. You can do with us what you want." But Joseph said, "No, I forgive you." The prodigal son comes back to his father and he wants to say, "All I need to be is a servant in your home." But the father says, "No, you are my son. You've returned home." And he had a party for him. So the person who has been sinned against has the opportunity to offer forgiveness. This is not magic. The one who forgives has to be willing to let it go. And that may not be easy. The person must let it go not only for their relationship, but also for themselves. Last week, I read a bit of a story from someone who had talked about the importance of letting, of forgiving. And it was for her sake that she asked for forgiveness, as well as for the relationship. Sometimes, and maybe more than sometimes, in this process, people are not aware of when they are hurting others. And what should we do then? And I think this is really critical too, because when he says, "Father, forgive them," we need to take responsibility. And sometimes the responsibility, it lands on the one who has been hurt. Lands on the one who's been seen, who sees the sin happening. In Matthew 18, 15 to 20, Jesus talks about this process. And he says, if you see a brother or sister going the wrong way or sinning, you should go and talk to that person. And if that person responds, you've gained a brother or sister. If not, then take two witnesses so that they can see the interaction. And if they still don't respond, then bring it to the congregation. And if they don't see, then treat them as a tax collector or a pagan. And you know, a tax collector or pagan, Jesus loves them, and so the love needs to continue. And then Jesus says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And this is around this process. I don't claim to be an expert on this, but I sometimes these experiences come, and afterwards you say, oh, that was the process. I've changed some of the details in this story just to keep the anonymity there. But many years ago in a work environment, I was sitting in my office and somebody came in unexpectedly and just blasted me. And they just called me down and it was really, really difficult. And I didn't know what to do. As at the end of this, I kind of turned white and just felt frozen. And so I went to an executive coach that I had hired and I asked this person, I said, "So, talk to them about this situation." And he said, "Gary, what do you want to do?" Well, I'll tell you, there was a side of me I wanted to take revenge. There's a side of me I wanted to prove to him that I wasn't the kind of person he told me I was. And then I thought a little bit and I said, "You know, what I really need to do is talk to this person." And so I went and got up the courage, made an appointment, a time we could get together. And I talked to him. And you know what? He didn't hear me. He didn't hear the pain. He didn't hear what I was trying, how I talked to him in terms of how this impacted me. And I left with a heavy heart. And so sometime later, we were meeting again in a public place, and these two other employees saw this happen, and they saw the zingers that this guy was sending. It's very subtle, but they saw it coming and saw it happen. And afterwards, I asked these friends of mine and said, "Did you see what happened there?" "Yeah." I said, "You know, I've tried to talk to this person, but he doesn't respond. Do you think you could go and talk to him on my behalf?" And you know what? They did. I was really amazed. They actually went and talked to him. And the result was he never came to me and said he apologized, but the abuse stopped. And that was so critical. And that, afterwards I thought, oh, this is the process that Jesus is talking about. And then from my perspective, I had to forgive. I had to let it go, put it behind me where it doesn't bother me anymore. And so upon reflection, I thought, this is really what Jesus is talking about. Somewhere I had to come to the place where I say, I forgive. Now, to be sure, every time you go through this, it's a little different. Every time you go through something like this, it's not easy. But if I wouldn't have forgiven him, I don't know where I'd be. And because the bitterness would just rip me apart. And so today, we are coming together at this communion table. We recognize that the foundation for the new covenant is based on the forgiveness of Jesus. And as we participate in this, it is both vertical and it is horizontal. And so there's a place if we need to have repentance, if we need to make things right, this is that place that helps us understand this. And we also must remember the persecuted church, because you know what? They come to the same table. They have the same communion service where they participate in the blood, and they participate and remember the blood and the body of Jesus. They remember his sacrifice, and in doing that, they enter into a profound part of history where Jesus was crucified, but it's also in the present, because they are reminded that this is not the end. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again, and we have hope as we go forward. Hope of our life, eternity in Jesus. And so I'd like you to listen to the next item, and then we'll have our communion service. So, and there's going to be a reading, and there's going to be some music. And the song is very familiar. I think you'll see the song, but this gives a historical context for this song. So please see it from there.